Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. God bless you, and welcome from everywhere. Blessings, blessings. We're going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer, man. God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we come before you, holy God, righteous God, loving and faithful God, patient God. Father God, we ask you to have your will in your way. Holy Spirit, have your full way. You're the Lord. You are God, Father. We humble ourselves before you, Father, and talk to us today, Lord God, about being queens, Lord God, that are made, queens that give you glory, God, queens that are here to declare your name and to represent you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Again, welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie, and today we're going to be talking about queens are made, or how queens are made. Amen. I'm going to be coming Psalms 45, 9 through 11. But before I do that, let me lay a little foundation here. We talk about queens being made. Listen, on our own, everybody, listen, as far as I'm concerned, everybody comes from somebody. Everybody comes from a lineage of something. You don't just pop up and you're a queen, no. You come from a line of kings or a line of queens. Somewhere a kingdom started, right? Somewhere something started, right? There is a beginning of everything. And so I want to talk about the author of life. Jesus Christ is the author of life. We talk about Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, God Almighty. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I were to declare his name, I'm going to tell you about some of his titles. It says, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Come on, you all. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Amen. I am reminded again, my Lord, God, about God being the great, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Oh, my Lord, just I don't even have that scripture before me, but on your own, you want to definitely go ahead and pull up the names of God, him being the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the almighty Father, the everlasting Father. Let me tell you something. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We can go on and on about his greatness, his majesty, his royalty, who he is and holiness. Ooh, Jesus, my God, for thine is the kingdom of the power and the glory forever and ever. Matthew 6, amen. Ooh, my Lord, Hebrews 5, 8, 14, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We could go on and on about the Son of God, his kingdom, that Jesus Christ came into this world to bring and display the kingdom of God, to bring the kingdom of God. When he said the kingdom of God is among you, God was telling us to repent. Remember the John the Baptist, when Jesus Christ went to John the Baptist to be baptized, and remember that word that was spoken, that was said, where he was saying, repent that the kingdom of God is at hand. It was John the Baptist, I believe, who was telling the people to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. We go back, my goodness, I'm going way ahead of my notes, but we go back to when Father God, oh, Jesus, I'm not going to go ahead of you today, Lord. I'm waiting on you. And we'll get into a little bit of that later on about Jesus Christ and how the people were asking God for a king. We might go there, but I really want to just lay a little foundation so that we know that this queen is not self-made. Even the queen that I'm going to be talking about today is not a queen that's necessarily a lineage of royalty in the natural sense, like Queen Elizabeth. No, she's not. This queen, my God, she's a mighty woman of God. She's an Echichael, my God. She's an Ayer connector. She's a queen that God has already ordained from the foundations of the world to represent Christ, to represent God, to represent the King, amen, and to represent and bring forth his kingdom. I'm going to talk a little bit about this queen, my Lord. They might be talking about you. Are you one? Are you a princess, a daughter of the King? Well, come on. If you're a daughter of the King, you belong to the King. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are indeed, amen, royalty. He said, what does the Bible say? It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so now we're going to be talking about this queen a little bit more. But again, I want to lay some format to understand that the characteristics of this queen come from somewhere. When God made Adam and Eve, he didn't just make some people say, well, you know what, you're going to name animals, that's all you're going to do. No, he gave them a purpose. He gave them a plan. They were to, they walked in his glory and his presence and his power. He said that he created man in his image and his likeness. Image in the Greek, I believe, says character. So he created them in his character. They created, what is God's character like? What is God like? Well, I did read about a little bit about it, that you God, that he He's righteous. He's upright. He has uprightness. He's righteous. He has greatness and power and his glory. And we can all think about the characteristics of Christ. We can all think about who Jesus is and what he did as a sacrificial lamb and laying down his life. And it's his love and his sanctification and his wisdom and his holiness and his patience and all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And he's long-suffering. He's kind. He's gentle. He's meek. He listens. He's discerning. He's a friend that's sticking closer than me. Brother, we can go on and on and on about who Jesus Christ is in character. And then we can go on and on and on. Hopefully I'll get into Isaiah 61 and tell you a little bit even more about the Lord's character. So Jesus is looking for someone, amen, who looks like him. God is looking for someone who looks like him. What did the Bible say in 1 Samuel 16:7? When the people were looking for a king and the Lord, Saul was dead, right? Saul was already dead. And so now the people were crying out for a king. They were actually crying out for Saul. And God had raised up a king. He raised up David as a king. David was a man after his own heart. Let's read it, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the scripture I'm looking for specifically, where the Lord tells us that God is looking for someone after his heart. Let's go ahead and go on over to that scripture, because this queen, this godly woman, this daughter of God, who we are, amen. God, just listen, we didn't just put us around here to look cute. That's not what it's all about. It's nice to look cute. It's nice to be attractive, amen. We have a purpose. Come on, that beauty has a purpose. Esther's beauty had a purpose. She wasn't just there sitting in a castle and just look pretty all day, amen, and then might be at the end of her life. No, she had a purpose. And so beauty has a purpose. God's beauty, God's queens, God's daughters, come on, you have a purpose. God wants to reveal to the world who you truly are. He wants to let them understand and see what God's nature really is about, amen. And so now I want to talk a little bit about that scripture, and I am looking for it. And let me just go ahead and tell you what the Lord, what's on my heart. It says, thank you, Father God, hallelujah. Let's just continue. Let's just pray, because I don't want to go ahead of the Lord. I want to wait on him. I want to lay on him. It says, Acts 18:22 says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. There it is right there in a nutshell. Come on, everybody. Jesus Christ wants us to be what? He wants us to be like him in character. And the way that we declare that, the way we show that, amen, the way we do that, amen, is that it shows we will do everything I want him, we will do everything he wants us to do. And guess what? It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit for us to do everything that God wants us to do. The Bible says, Jesus says, I work in you. God says, I work in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. So we have to allow God, let God, come on, we have to choose, we have to set our affections on things above and not on things above. And let this mind be in us what's in Christ Jesus. We have to let God work in us. It's a work, it's a work. And so now I want to go on to the making of this queen, and I'm going to be focusing on my text scripture today, which is Psalms 45:9-11. Everybody, let's go ahead. Go over to Psalms 45:9-11 here. I'm going to go ahead and scroll down on my computer there. And it says, verse 9 says, daughters of kings are among your honored women. At your right hand is a royal bride in gold of Ophir. Verse 10, listen. Well, I want you all to listen to verse 10. It says, listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. Amen. And so we find here this daughter. We find here another way that it's read, I think, is now here, the bride of Christ. We have the bridegroom of the verses. I believe my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king, and I read one particular translation. But what I remember specifically, what I read about this particular psalm, is that this is Christ and his bride. And so now you and Christ, Jesus Christ is now calling you separately, individually. He's calling you out. Amen. As part of the body of Christ. This is the way I begin to look at this verse, I begin to say, oh, this is God talking to me. This is God wanting to give me instruction. In verse 10, he's saying, listen, daughter. Come on, let God speak to you through this verse. Listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. How many verses in Proverbs God say, listen to a father's instruction and listen, son? And all God is trying to get our attention. He's saying, listen. You know, there's another scripture that says, wisdom calls out in the street. Amen. So God is trying to get our attention. That's number one. Listen, daughter, careful attention. All right? Number two, forget your people and your father's house. God wants us to get rid of, lay aside every weight and the sin that was so easily beset us. God wants us to put him first and nothing else, not mother, father, brother, son. Anybody doesn't mean you don't love him. It just means that God's got to order everything. God has to be king. He's got to be ruler. He's got to be Lord. He's got to let you know why he purposed you, why he has you here. And you got to get your instructions from the king. So that means everybody's going to move out. Y'all, I love y'all, but I've got to find out what the king wants. The king has a summons. Amen. The king has something to tell me. Oh, verse 3, verse 11 says, let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Oh, my, honor him, for he is your Lord. Let me read that again, verse 11. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. And so the Lord wants to be enthralled by your beauty. Now, see, we would say, what beauty? Someone say, what beauty? Well, listen, you may not know what your beauty is. And if you go into Song of Solomon, when Solomon is talking to the Shulamite, and he says, you're altogether lovely, and she's probably a little bit of surprise. I remember when I was reading a chapter 1, when she was in 5, it talks a little bit about how she, and I'm dark but lovely, and she didn't really have a silence, did not sound like she really had a revelation that she was beautiful, because she was looking at herself at the outer appearance, or maybe the way somebody treated her, maybe because she said she was dark, and so maybe she didn't really see who she truly was and who God created her to be. When we spend time with God, God is going, God can give us a revelation of who we truly are as we're in his light. See, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and as we behold his glory, we're transformed into his image. And so we have to spend time with God so God can begin to transform us, so God can begin to renew our mind, so his light can shine upon us. Amen. And we truly will become what God has created us to be. But it's in his light I will see light. Amen. There is no way that I can be transformed into the image of God if I never spend time with him. Because that's how I'm transformed. He's a transformer. The Holy Ghost is the one who he regenerates. He makes me new. He changes me. He transforms me. I'm transforming, changed from glory to glory as I behold him. Amen. So I have to behold him. I've got to behold his word. I've got to spend time with him. And so now God is saying, I'm enthralled by your beauty. So he's drawing her. There's another scripture in Song of Solomon that says, what's that scripture in Song of Solomon? I think it's 2:10. It says, the one I love calls to me. Amen. And so God is calling. His love is calling to us. Well, even before we ask, God is already answering, because he's drawing you to him. He wants to love on you. He wants to restore you and make you like him with his character, his faithfulness, his love, and his beauty. The world will be able to differentiate between goodness and evil. They'll be able to say, oh, that's God right there, because they see God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. They won't be confused. We won't be confused. We won't act like children of the devil, because he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But we have to behold him. We have to stay in the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord God. And so we find, it says, honor him, for he is your Lord. Now listen, that's a whole, my goodness, if I talked about, I don't know if the Lord wants me to move on there yet. So basically, back at the beginning of 11a, let the king be enthralled by your beauty. God wants us to sit in his presence. God wants us to dwell in his presence. God wants us to abide in his presence. If you abide in me and let my word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it will be given unto you. God wants to transform us and to change us. And he wants it to be a daily walk. He doesn't, listen, this is for all of us. He doesn't want us to go in and out. Today we're up and we're with Jesus. The next day we ain't spend time with Jesus. God wants us to be committed and to be faithful with him, because we're transformed and changed as we spend time with him. We want to reach our destiny. Guess what? It's in him. It's in Christ we live and move and have our being. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. Amen. So we have to walk with him to become. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He does it. It's because of him. Okay. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians 1:30. It's because of him. It's because of Christ. Let me go to that scripture real quick. And hopefully I'm just going back to see what the Lord is putting on my heart. I believe I'm looking for 1 Corinthians. You know, that's one of my favorite. One of my scriptures that I really enjoy reading, I'm trying to get my eyes on it, but I want us to remember that it is because of him. Father God, help me find that scripture, Jesus. Okay, you all, let me. I might have to go ahead and type it in. I did write it down, so give me a few minutes. Just pray for me, amen. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 1:30, King James Version, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So he does all these things in us. You know, I was thinking earlier about, let me stay on target because I do want to talk about, I want to talk about crowns and robes and all that kind of things about this queen. But God doesn't want that to just be outer stuff. You know, that's a representation. You talk about Elizabeth's regalia. You talk about maybe her crown and her you know, all the things that she has. You know, and that's beautiful. She's a real physical. She's a real queen, right, by inheritance. But I'm saying, you know, in reference to believers, we're God's queens. We're God's representatives, right? And so God has his own standard of beauty, right, man? God has his, he has a royal diadem upon our head. He crowns us with glory. He robes us in the robe of righteousness. He gives us a scepter. We rule and reign in the earth. We have dominion and we have authority, but it all comes from Christ. It's all spiritual. And so we have to spend time with the Lord to begin to look like him. And put on his armor. We have to take off the old and put on the new, according to Colossians 3. It's taking me over there. Let's all go to Colossians 3 and see what God wants. What does God want us to be like? Amen. So I'm going to go ahead now, and I'm going to put in Colossians 3, and I'm going to go to the NIV version here. It says Colossians 3. So this is what God wants us to look like. Amen. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, here we go, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. It says, verse 7 says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. So you can be a queen, look like a queen, and have all this stuff on the inside of your heart. You say, God, that's not representing Christ. Jesus Christ came to represent Christ fully. He was expression of who God the Father was exactly. He looked just like that, his exact nature, right? And so God wants us to look like him. Let me keep reading. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, again, rage, anger, reading again, as these anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. So as queen, God's queen, God wants us to take off the old clothing, the old robe, and put on the new self with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to obey the Holy Spirit. All of us. All of us are called to do this. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. It really is. He will sanctify us if we want to be sanctified. He'll keep us if we want to be kept. Believers want to be kept. Amen. Believers want to be like Jesus. The believers, we do. We do. God sanctify us. God, help us to want what you want. Help us to change, God. That should be that desire in us. God, give us a desire to change. It's not there to ask God. God, give me a desire to change. God, help me want to change, God. Help me, God, because I'm deceived somewhere. Deliver me, humble me, purge me, purify me. Ask God to do a work in your heart, to do a work. Let God start at the base of your heart, to make your heart. Let's ask God to make our hearts like his heart. Amen. Give us hearts like David. Give us a heart after your heart. Amen. A heart that pants after you, a heart that wants what you want. Oh, God, give it to us. Amen. And so verse 10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And so this is the way God wants us to be. And verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. This is what God wants his queen to be clothed in. Clothe yourself with all of us. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So that was really beautiful. I didn't know I was going to go there, but amen. Thank God for his word, God. Father, thank you for your word, amen. And so God wants us to make us true beauty queens, amen. Queens after his heart. Let me give you another. I want to now go back to my notes here, and I'm going to go back to what God is looking for when I talk about true beauty. Let's now, we can look at it with Esther, but you know what? I want to look at it now with the first, It's called the Peter, 1 Peter 1 through 3 woman. And this woman, this inner beauty woman, this woman of the heart. God wants someone after his heart. I think I talked about David earlier. God wasn't looking for someone. He doesn't see us after, as man sees. He doesn't look at the outer appearance. He already told us. He looks at the heart. Let's look at this woman here in 1 Peter. I'm scrolling down. Okay, 3. It says, I'm going to start at 3. It says, your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is ministering to me, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. And so God wants us to be adorned in our heart. You know, Psalms 45 says that the queen is all glorious within her chambers. So God wants to do an internal work. He wants to do an inner work. You know, my eyes just fell on here. There says, oh, my God, Lord, it says, whoever would love life, verse 10 says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. And so God is calling us to that internal work of the heart, the beauty of the heart. That is what God wants. God wants a godly queen. It's okay to look nice on the outside, but you know what? He's saying that's not what it's all about. It's about that Proverbs 31:31. Proverbs 31:30 woman, where it says, and I need to go ahead and pull that up. I wrote that scripture down. I think it's right in the same area. If you can give me a few minutes to pull that scripture up, it says, let's see, Father. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so praise, you know, as we begin to fear God, that's the beginning. The Bible says that's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. God is able to give us, as we put him first, God is able to open up our eyes and help us desire the things that he wants, the things that he desires, to be transformed, he begins to change us. We begin to want to be beautiful spiritually. We begin to want to be, who wouldn't want to be a godly queen? Who would want to, you know, my God, have a crown upon your head and represent true dignity and represent show people who God is. And listen, if we need to ask God to help us to want to be like him, God, help me to want to be like you, not the world. God, put that in my heart. God, give me a new heart. The Bible says, I read it somewhere, and I may have to pull that up, but it says God will give you a new heart and a new, let me go ahead and pull that up about God giving us a new heart. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. God will give me. We ask God, you know, somewhere else in another scripture says, God, give me a clean heart. And we ask God for a clean heart. God, give me a new heart. God, give me a heart like your heart. Amen. Let's go ahead and ask God for what we really need. Amen. We need a new heart. We need a transformed heart. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts for real. Okay? God, give me a new heart. Let me go ahead and see if I can get my hands on that scripture. Okay, Ezekiel, did God give a man a new heart? Literally, okay, here we go. It's found here in Ezekiel 36:26. And moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from the flesh and give you a heart of flesh. My God, who doesn't want that? I do. Come on. We want that as children of God. We want a new heart. We don't want to act like, we don't want to have wicked hearts and evil hearts and hearts like the devil. And we don't belong to the devil anymore. God's taking us out of darkness to a marvelous light. If you've got a wounded heart, I'm asking God now, God, heal those wounded hearts. God, heal our wounded hearts. Heal our hearts so we might thirst after you again, so we might feel after you again, so we might long after you again, so we might pant after you again. God, begin to heal those hearts, God. Begin to break up the stony heart, God, and the heart of flesh, God, where somebody's been wounded and they're hurt and the heart has gotten hard. God, give us tender hearts after your heart. I'm being pulled over to another scripture about the heart, and it is, it's in Philippians, I believe it's Philippians 3, so I'm going a little bit different here, but that's okay. Philippians 3 NIV. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up. And it says, and this, I'm pulling the scripture. I'm drawn to the scripture. It says, I'll read. It says 3:1 says, "Further, my brother and sister, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his spirit. God, help us to serve you by your spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh." And so God has called us to put confidence in him. We are to be, God, help us to be full of your spirit, full of your word. Some of us need to, you know, getting back in the word, getting full of his spirit, get back to the word. Amen. Let's all get, me too, let's all get back to the word, get more into the word, get more into his spirit, to be transformed, to be changed. Amen. This is all I'm really going to share. Say, I don't have anything else to share in reference to this. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to ask God to give us a heart after his heart. Father, I pray now that you would give us a heart after your heart, Father. God, a heart that longs for you. And those that have been wounded in their spirits, that you would begin to heal their wounds, God. God, you said that you would heal us, Father. God, you will heal the backslidden. That you, God, I pray that you will draw them on to you. Father, you said you're married to the backslider. Whoever's been hurt so bad, they're not hurt beyond a repair, because you're the God that restores the soul. And so, God, begin to restore the soul, the heart, the mind, where injuries happen, where losses have happened, where things took so long, people got discouraged, and they said, "Well, does God love me? Don't see me." They will begin to understand that you're working in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. You haven't given up on us, God. You're working something out of us, Father God. You're working something in us, Father God. You're taking time for us to get to know you, to find out, listen, if we can trust you. Can you trust us? You want us to trust you, amen, according to Proverbs 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you, and you shall direct our path." But you also want us to become trustworthy. Can you trust us when everything, nothing's going on? Can you trust us when everything is bad? Can you trust us when everything is, we have losses? Can you trust us to still, you know, praise you and be loving and be connected and then be in the word and be in prayer and be kind? Can you trust us? Can you trust us? And that's going to take that verse that we read where it says that the king is enthralled by your beauty. That means when we have to the Bible says, lay aside every weight, the sin that would so easily beset us. And so even when things, we have losses, like, you know, Paul had losses, but we've got to trust you. We've got to looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, who for the joy before him, he endured the cross. And so, God, we've got to have the joy before us. We got to know that you are working. The work you've begun in us, you will complete. We've got to believe, Lord God, that your thoughts towards us are good and not evil, to give us a future and a hope. We have to believe that when Hebrews 11:6, it says, "For without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We've got to believe there's a reward, God, after this. We've got to believe there's crowns. And then we are with crowns, that there are, yeah, there are crowns, but there's also jewels. We're making our jewels up when we walk and get to know you as righteousness. We get to know you as we walk in faithfulness during in our long times of long suffering and patience. You're making our crowns, God. We're making our crowns. We're working on that which cannot fade away. God, help us. Give us that kind of faith and encouragement to endure, to realize that you are faithful. You never lied, God, and you rewarded those who are faithful. You rewarded Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again, God, and sits at the right hand of you. He's the Lord of lords, and every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So saints have gone before us. You rewarded them with crowns and blessings and honors. You look on the earth right now. We know leaders who are representing you and honoring you and serving you. Bless them. We see people that are Christians that are blessed all the time. Father, my sisters and brothers who are discouraged, God, encourage their hearts. Those say, "Lord, I waited so long." God, encourage their hearts. Let them know you're making them. Let them know that you're taking them through, taking us through the fire to refine us. God, encourage our hearts. God, you said that David encouraged himself. God, help us to encourage ourselves and not become weary in well-doing. You said don't become weary in well-doing. You said we will reap, but we don't faint. You told us not to faint because you knew we would get weary. God, help us not to become weary in well-doing. You told us don't become weary in well-doing. God, we'd encourage one another as long as it's called today. Oh, God, and so, Father, we just thank you for this time, God. I'm asking you, God, to just encourage your people. Strengthen us, Father God. Help us not to look at the things that we see, right, at the outer appearance, you know, things we see and we feel. When people say, no, we need to look on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher. You're the finisher of this faith. It's in the spirit. As we abide with you in the spirit, God, and call those things to be not as though they were, as we say what you say, God, we will have what you want us to have. God, you said if we ask, we shall receive. You said if we seek, we will find. You said if we knock, the door will be opened unto us. You said if we seek, we said seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and then all things will be added unto us. God, we are created to represent you. You're not going, you don't start a work of art and just stop in the middle and don't finish the masterpiece. God, you're doing a work. You're doing a meticulous, detailed work, just like you started and did in Psalms 139:14. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows it right well. My soul has got to get to the place. We have all got to get to the place. We need to get to the place of saying, my soul knows it right well. God, help us to let you complete your work in us that you've begun. Let us not stop in the middle. Let us not say, well, no, I've had enough. I'm tired. And God, let us just let you carry us when we get, you know, a little tired. Say, God, carry me, Jesus. Carry me, Father. Cover me, Father. Strengthen me, Father. God, I ask you to strengthen us. Strengthen us, God. He said, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Lord God, we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us now, God. We don't look at ourselves. He didn't say, look at yourself. He didn't say, compare yourself with other people. He didn't, no. Don't look at all your problems. He says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Wow, I'd love to go on and on with this and share more information. This is all I have for now. God bless you. And take care. Remember, never give up. You have an expected end in Jesus. You want to stay around and find out what that is. God bless you. Never give up. God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.